In the book of Acts, chapter 4. Now, in chapter 3, you recall that Peter and John were headed to the temple. They were going to go pray. They saw a man who had not walked. He was over 40 years old, never walked in his life, unable. They didn't have any money to give him, but they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they took his hand and raised him up, and he walked. It was a miracle. And they began to preach the gospel there, because when they went into the temple area, it drew a crowd. How big was the crowd? The crowd was well over 5,000 people. Well over. You'll see that in a moment. It's a big crowd. And they're telling the people, "You crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. He's alive. You can have eternal life. He is the Savior." They preached the gospel is what they did. While they're preaching, chapter 4 begins. Right in the middle of Peter's preaching, we see this, chapter 4, verse 1. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." The priests, the Sadducees, the temple guard, the chief of the temple guard. Because you've got over 5,000 people, well over 5,000, crowding up in this one area. Of course, these people go in to see what's the commotion. What's all the hubbub? And they get in there, and there's Peter preaching. Preaching what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. What, verse 2 says, they were grieved. Who were? The Sadducees. Why? Because they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ resurrection from the dead. Why would that grieve them? Well, let's back up. When Jesus was here on the earth just a few months before this, or maybe not quite a year, Jesus taught, and they didn't like it either, but his main objectors were the Pharisees. Now, the Sadducees were there, the doctors of the law, the lawyers, they were there, but the Pharisees were really playing a huge part in it. Now, they crucified Jesus. Now his followers, the church, they're preaching the same message. Now, who's upset? Well, the Sadducees. Why are they upset? Because they're preaching through the name of Jesus Christ, resurrection from the dead. The Pharisees believed in life after death and believed in all the spiritual realm. They believed in Satan and those angels, good and bad, fallen and good angels. The spiritual realm. But the Sadducees believed that this is it. This life, you live it. When you're done, everything's, you're finished. There is nothing out there. There is no resurrection. There are no angels. There is nothing out there. So the difference between the Pharisees and the Pharisees believed in all that. Sadducees didn't. The way I remember it is the Sadducees didn't believe in life after death, and that's why they were sad, you see. It works. Works for me. Pick your own. Well, that's why it grieved them then, didn't it? Because they're preaching through Jesus' name resurrection, something they don't even believe in. It grieved them. It upset them. Notice, everyone, notice this. It was not the bar owners. You know, all the pubs in and around Jerusalem. It wasn't the crooked politicians. Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." It wasn't the crooked politicians. It wasn't the gangs who were running the hood, you know, the neighborhood. "What are you doing in our hood? Man, this is our turf." It wasn't the gangs that were trying to destroy the church and this Jesus character. It wasn't even organized crime, you know, the Israeli mafia. It wasn't them. It was religious people. Thank you. That's right. The hypocrites. The religious people. It always has been. Take a look out there, everybody. You've been trying to share. My goodness, I remember being young in the Lord. And speaking of that, you know, today is my 30th birthday. No, don't laugh. It's true. May 4th, 1973, I accepted the Lord. Obviously, I was only 1 year old at the time, so now I'm only 31. What are you laughing at? 30 years. I remember the days of being brand new. Do you remember those days? How everything was brand new. You would witness to the fire hydrant. You would put up little pictures of Jesus around the office, put them on poles, and people thought, is he missing? No, I just want to tell you, you know. And you remember those days? But Christians stepped in. The religious people stepped in and tried to help me. Well, yeah, I remember I wasn't saved very long. A young man comes up to me and says, hey, do you speak in tongues? I go, what? Tongues. Never heard of it. Haven't you read that in the Bible? No, that's in the book of Acts. I go, is that New Testament or Old? You don't speak in tongues? No. You know something? You're not saved. You're going to go to hell. Okay, what do I got to do? Just repeat after me. She rode a Honda. She rode a Honda. She rode a Honda. Pretty soon I was doing it. I even got so far as to say this one. Ready? She bought a Honda at Economy Auto. I had it. There it was. Hey, that's what they taught me to say. I just had to repeat it. I've said that in places. You should hear the interpretations. It's great. But it wasn't long. It wasn't too long. But I ran into a Baptist. He says, you born again? Yep, I am. You speak in tongues? Yeah, watch. She rode a Honda. He goes, you know, that's of the devil. You're going to go to hell. I didn't know what to do. It wasn't the bar owners that were trying to freak me out. It wasn't the people that were trying to stump me and stop me up. It was everybody that was religious. God bless them. I know what they were trying to do now. They just didn't understand what was going on. And you see, it wasn't anybody but the religious people who tried to destroy Jesus and his ministry. Remember that? And his most scathing words were to the hypocrites. He said, alas, alas for you lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites that you be. Then he went on and in love ripped him to shreds. In love, he did it. I mean, God is love. He's the most loving that there is. And he just ripped him up and down. Because religion was killing him. My goodness. What do we read? Verse 3, because they were grieved about it. Verse 3 says, they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Wouldn't it be cool just to speak King James language everywhere? Hey, want to head to McDonald's this eventide? What sayest thou? Yea, verily. And people will think, oh man, they got their own code. It's probably some kind of cult. And they laid hold on them. They arrested them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide, evening. It's getting late. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Peter had been preaching. They stopped him from preaching, and they arrested him. But the language says here, and you'll see in a moment, this is just not Peter and John. This is also the guy that was healed. Because he's still hugging Peter and John. He won't let them go. They arrested all three of them. Threw him in jail. What did he do? He walked. So he got arrested too. You're part of the group. Get in there. And they threw him in I call it the drunk tank. They threw him in overnight. All of them. But that morning, within about less than 30 minutes, 5,000 men were saved. Doesn't tell us the number of women, because that usually didn't count. Not that you women are bad, just that's how they worked it. So if there were 5,000 men, you know there were many women, because you take a look at most churches and the women outnumber the men big time. Nothing personal. But it happens, doesn't it? So you've got a huge crowd on your hands here. The church grew in one day. Remember, it started at 120 and it grew to 3,120. Not long from that day, over 5,000 more come. So you're looking at a minimum of 8,120. Minimum. But now, John and Peter and our healed man that couldn't walk, who's now, he's probably still jumping up and down in jail. They're arrested. Why? What was the crime? Well, there wasn't a crime. I mean, we've seen this before. Jesus, too, got arrested. There was no crime. What was the crime? Nothing. It grieved them that they were preaching, that Peter and John were preaching resurrection in the name of Jesus Christ, resurrection from the dead. It bothered them, so they arrested them. What for? Nothing. It just bothered them. They threw them in jail, but they can't keep them long. And the number of people was about, or men was about 5,000. Well, verse 5 says, and it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, next morning, that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, you remember him, and Caiaphas, oh, you remember him, and John and Alexander, and as many as were the relatives of the high priest, they gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, them would be John and Peter and this man who can now walk. When they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? I like it. They can't deny that it's been done. They all know this is that guy who's over 40 years old. He's been out there years begging. And we can't deny he can walk. So the question is, by what power and in whose name did you do this? We can't deny it's done, but we want to know details. This was a great miracle. A man who had never walked. He was born unable to walk. He has never walked. He's over 40 years old. And he walked. Not only walked, he was walking, the Bible says, and leaping and praising the Lord. It's a miracle. Even the religious leaders cannot deny the miracle. They don't like it, but they can't deny it. And I know you've seen that at school, and you've seen it at work. God literally changes you. And the people see it, but they don't like it. They can't deny it, but they don't like it. I had gotten saved that day that I got saved, which was on this day. I was in the island of Guam. I was in with the Seabees. We were making the Anderson Air Force Base's runway longer so you could take off more B-52s. We made it a little wider and longer. They were taking them off four at a time to bomb Vietnam. Four at a time. While we were making it longer and wider, they were flying over us, taking off, just like the earth is shaking. Well, I went to a Billy Graham crusade one of those evenings on May 4th, and Billy Graham couldn't make it. It's my life story. But Grady Wilson was there, and he made it, and he preached the gospel, and I accepted the Lord. So the next day, it's time to go to work. You get up and you go. And the people that I worked with are saying, there is something wrong with you today. What's with you? You are not the same. What was I doing different? Nothing. I came in. I was my natural hyper self. Don't need Navy coffee. I could do it. Don't need that caffeine. I'm just, my whole goal in life was to live hard, die young, leave a good looking corpse. My wife says, it's too late. I'm sure she meant the live hard part. Well, what's wrong with you? You are different than you were yesterday. What is it? And you know, I would tell them, I went to the Billy Graham crusade last night and I accepted the Lord. And they go, oh, give me a break. I thought you were smarter than that. No, I did it. I asked Jesus into my heart. You want to? You could have Jesus too. You're a jerk. You know, when you're young in the Lord, you know just how to say it. Watch Peter. You know, he'll say it. And they said, no, man, I don't want that. And I say, you need it, man. You're a sinner. You're a loser. You're going to hell, you know. Bob, you're so weird. You're different. They didn't like it. But they could not deny that something had drastically changed overnight. And I was still wearing the same kind of uniforms, still had the same kind of haircut, but they noticed something. And so I thought, well, cool, this is really cool. You know, they couldn't deny this man walks. I mean, there he is standing in front of you walking. Can't deny it. So tell us by what power and in whose name, in other words, what authority you do these things. Verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Okay, stop there. This speaks not of Peter being filled months ago on the day of Pentecost. The language is right now. The language isn't past tense. The language is now. In other words, Peter was then filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, when I am born again, when we are born again, Jesus Christ takes up residence in our life. The Holy Spirit of the living God lives in our lives. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit in you. But you need to be filled afresh regularly for the assignment, for the calling, for the need, for the situation right this moment. And so Peter was filled afresh again. No, he wasn't. It wasn't just now that he had the Spirit. He's had the Spirit for a long while, but he's filled afresh. That's what it means when it says, Peter, then, filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke. Had the Holy Spirit left him? No, but the Holy Spirit came upon him again in power for this situation that he needs. And the next time you're in a situation, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I've got to do my job. I need to know how to deal with this. I need to know what not to do here. I need to know how to handle this, Lord. Fill me afresh. He says, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He is talking to the legislature, leadership of the nation. He is speaking to the Supreme Court and all the powers that be of the nation of Israel. And he's standing before them. How could you get there? How could you get invited to speak before the Sanhedrin? He didn't get invited. He got arrested. God set him up. Has God ever done that to you? I'm working for the United States government. This is back in 1974, around there. Just gotten out of the Navy, went to work for the government. Decided, why waste all these uniforms? I was working in classified documents, but they had us back inside a cage thing, inside next to the mailroom. So you could look and see in their little mailboxes. You could open it, and I got to recognize lips and noses. Hey, Bill, recognize that nose? It's good to see you. And then he'd reach down, and you'd see his lips move. Hey, Bob, what's going on? You know, and so you're looking through these little mailboxes, and I'd be saying things like, "Man, I've been praying for you. Your daughter was. How's she doing?" He says, "Oh, she's doing better. Thanks for praying." He was not a Christian. I'd say, "You know, the Lord can heal. The Lord does this. You need Jesus. When we go on break, I'll meet you down there. Let's talk about it." And you know, then you go to the next mailbox and see an ear. Oh, are you listening? Cool. Hey, well, who are you? Show me your nose. I'll know who you are. And I'm just sharing with the people. Not gross, not obnoxious, just sharing. Well, my boss came to me, and he's one of the powers that be. You know, he's a military superpower. So I need to talk to you. Okay. Probably going to give me an award. He says, I've got some complaints and that you've been witnessing. I go, really? People are complaining? But they didn't say anything to me. I'm trying to do it with wisdom. I'm trying not to tell them they're going to hell till I get to the break room. I don't like to do it right to their nose, right to a box. He says, you can't do it. I said, well, sure I can. Come on with me. I'll show you how I do it. No, you can't. He says, we can't allow it. I said, oh, it doesn't matter whether you allow it or not. I'll still do it. And he's looking at me like, this young man doesn't have a clue. He's clueless. I said, let me tell you what I'm saying to them. You're going to hell. You need Jesus. You yourself are a sinner And there is hope for you in Jesus. He loves me. He gave me life freely. He loves you. He gave you life freely. Now, how many times would they have had an opportunity to speak to that kind of commanding officer one-on-one? He might have come by and said, how are you doing? I might have waved. But he didn't stop and take the time until I got drawn into, on, we say, the carpet. I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm in trouble. Wait, we could tell him about Jesus while we're here. One of the men came by. You know, and as his nose went by, he goes, I heard you got in trouble. I said, well, not really. I got a chance to tell the commander about Jesus. He goes, and he turns and you can see his lips in through the box. When are you going to quit preaching all this gloom and doom? I said to him, oh, it's only gloom and doom to you. See, to me and everybody that has eternal life, it is good news. This is good news. It's a positive. Peter says in verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you, stand here before you, whole. Peter says, oh, is this what you arrested us for? Is this why we are on trial being held here? Because this man can walk? If that's the reason, then let me tell you this. If I've been arrested for doing a good deed, for the Lord doing a good deed and using me, if that's the reason, then let me tell you, let all of the nation know, let all of you know, let the whole world know he's going to say later. Tell the whole world that it is the power of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ that this man can walk. Notice, everyone, he gives all the glory to the Lord. This man can walk. It's been over 40 years. It's a miracle. By what power are you doing this? By what authority? In whose name? Oh, that's the question? That's why we've been arrested? That's why you brought us before? Now, I'm going to tell you something. He spoke boldly and said, if that's all you want to know, then let every one of you know. Let the whole nation know. Tell the whole world. Jesus Christ has done this. Who you killed. But God raised him. Peter knows how to just get you, doesn't he? Oh, you want to know? Well, you asked me. Jesus, who you put to death, by the way, God raised him from the dead. Peter preaches to them the gospel, to the whole powership of Israel. Aren't you impressed? Peter would have never had that kind of chance on his own. Walking into the temple thinking, I'm going to see if I could just, could we get the whole Sanhedrin, all of the Supreme Court, all of the nation's legislature all together so that I could tell them about Jesus? People would go, you're nuts. It's not going to happen. Just leave it to God. Oh, yeah. He spent the night in the tank. What did they do while they were in there? Bible doesn't say. Want me to tell you? Don't take notes on this. If it would have been Peter and that healed lame man and me, this is what would have been going on. Way to go, Peter. Mouth. You know, we were doing fine. We were going to pray. You healed a couple of guys. If you just kept your mouth shut, we could be home eating right now. You know they're eating? You know they're going to be at my house right now. And look at you, Peter. You just can't. You just got a boat. You just got a break. You know, wait a minute. Isn't that how you treat each other sometimes? Do you think John was saying that at all? You think John was upset that Peter took that opportunity to share Jesus Christ? I don't think so, not at all. I think John, when they got into jail with chains clashing, they gave each other a high five. All right. Jesus said this would happen. Wonder what happens next. Don't be ashamed to preach the gospel. Don't be weird about it. Don't get strange. I've told you about the two girls. I've mentioned those a few times. So great. They stripped completely naked, covered themselves with mustard, and walked down the street in Oregon. And they got arrested. I don't know why. And they yelled, you're persecuting us because we're Christians. No, you're loony, woman. You're covered in mustard and you're naked. All right? That's not normal. Their message was you have to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. You see, if you're doing things like that, I'm not convinced that that's the way to get it done. Peter was great. He just took the opportunity because you got thousands of people around. Peter just wanted to say, it's Jesus. Jesus. You take the opportunities because I'm telling you, I promise you, according to God's word, he'll give them to you. You don't have to go strip naked and cover yourself with bananas or anything. He'll give you the chances. If you say, Lord, open the doors, he will. Just listen to him and trust him. Keep your mustard in, you know, for hot dogs and things. It's the power of God. God raised him from the dead. It's by Jesus Christ that this man has been healed. If that's your question, that's my answer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he goes on, preaches to them. This is the stone which was set at naught, or to the side, or for nothing, of you builders. He points to each one of them. You, because you're the religious leaders, you're the leaders of the country, which has become the head of the corner. Now they know, there he refers to Psalm 118, verse 22. They know what he's talking about. These men are men of the scriptures. They know just what he's talking about. They're saying, Jesus is actually the Messiah. He's the one that was to come, and the builders rejected him, and he is the very cornerstone of the whole thing. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son of God, who is killed, who died and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. God raised him from the dead and he's ascended back to the Father. He's the one. And then verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter says, you know the word. Look at Isaiah. Look at the Psalms. You know the word. That stone that was rejected by the builders is actually the cornerstone, the chief stone. He's the Messiah. And you killed him. And God raised him from the dead. And Peter said, you got a chance now. You can believe. He is the Messiah. Here is a miracle staring you in the face. And I've told you the truth. What's the truth? There is salvation in no other. Do you hear that? There is salvation in no other. I don't know what you think, but there is salvation in no other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That means no other name, no other one. Jesus only. And that's the answer to your trouble. You say, we're having marriage trouble. I say, look to Jesus. Go to the cross. Take Jesus Christ into your heart and begin at that point to walk. You say, my job is in trouble. My kids don't like me. I don't like my kids. Everything's going on. I'm having trouble at school. Well, listen, Jesus is the answer. And what do Christians say? Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Is that all you can say? Just Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Have you tried him yet? Have you actually given your heart to Jesus Christ? There will be a difference that people will see overnight because God will change you. Too many are playing with it, I believe, saying that they're Christians, but they're not. And their lives clearly show it. James, who gets kind of tough with us, in love says, you show me your faith without your works. And I'll show you my faith by my works. Is he talking about a works trip, a works mentality? No, but it's logical. Listen closely. When you have a living body, sometimes when you come up on a crime scene or an accident, you can't tell if you've got a living body. You don't know. So we've got some tools that we can use. For instance, you could take a mirror and put it under someone's nose. And if there's any breath at all, you will see it, even if you can't see them move. Or if you've got a stethoscope, you could take that and put it around in the chest, excuse me, somewhere, and maybe hear the faintest noise in there. Or if you've got the right equipment, you can hook it up to their head. In my case, it wouldn't work. But in a normal case, you could see brain waves of some kind. Even if there's not much, there is some activity. What's the point? If there's any life at all, there is some kind of activity going on. Make sense? So you show me your faith then without your works. If there's no activity going on, you're dead. Got it? You didn't get saved by those works, but once you're truly born again, there's got to be some life. Even if you are weak, even the most minute signs, they're going to be there. So there's got to be. So James says, so I'll show you my faith by my works. You could put a mirror under my nose. I may not be doing much, but there should be at least a little bit of breath. Or there should be some kind of brain activity. Or there should be maybe just the faintest heartbeat. In other words, there's really life there. Has to be. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. You need to do it sincerely, honestly, by grace through faith. You don't have to work at it, but you need to do it today. Don't wait. And he said, there's no other name. There's no other way but Jesus. So remember this or write it down. The law cannot save you. Oh, you could try to keep it. And I see it, churches that do. But it can't save you. You see, if you could be good, you can't. But if you could be good enough, God would have known that some could. And he would have never sent his son to suffer that way. And Jesus prayed, Father, if it be possible that this cup pass me by. What was God's answer? No. This is the way. Your shed blood. There is no other way, everybody. Rituals, practices of any kind, they cannot save you. They can't. Ceremonies, all sorts of acts that you do, cannot save you. And no amount of money can save you. No amount of education can save you. And for the 21st century person, no amount of paranormal activity can save you. You watch TV and you see this guy contacting the other world. He spoke to my Uncle Nancy. It's got to be real. No, I don't have an Uncle Nancy. No paranormal experience can save you. You know what can? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It is so easy. The little children can do it. It is so complex that the greatest minds that the world has ever known still cannot put it all together. It's Jesus. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you hear that? I like it because Peter includes himself. Doesn't he? It says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter says, I needed Jesus. I have him now. You need him too. We need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And there is no other name, meaning you can't call out to Muhammad or the moon god Allah. Doesn't work. There's only one name, Jesus. You can't call out to Krishna or to the fifth Imam Buddha. You can't do it. There is no other name. You say that's narrow-minded. Hey, that's God's word. Adding to it or taking away from it is forbidden. Don't even bother. That's the way it is. If you'd like to do it differently, go create your own universe and make up your own rules. If you can't, that's the way God's got it set up. He's made it free that you could have life. It's a gift. The gift of eternal life. There is no other name. Many people are saying this. I don't want Jesus. I'll take my chances. Somebody says, all roads lead to God. Well, I guess they do, don't they? All roads don't lead to salvation, but Truth is, whatever road you're on, whether you're born again or you're on that wide road to destruction, all roads will lead to God, won't they? I mean, we will all end up standing in front of Him, won't we? But all roads don't lead to the presence of God for eternity, and that's where people are really messed up. Well, all roads lead to God. You're right. You will be there. You'll get there. But when you get there, if you have not accepted Jesus, you won't be at a judgment. You'll be at a sentencing. Read Revelation chapter 20. The judgment has already been passed. The sentencing is eternal suffering always and always. And there is a lake of fire. Jesus said so. You've got friends saying, I don't believe it. Listen, Jesus has been out there. Your friends haven't. Who are you going to listen to? People say, I believe in evolution. You got to be kidding. God said He created it. He was there. You're basing it on some kind of facts you think you see and some things you put together in your head. Who should I listen to? A guy who's put it together maybe by a dust he found, or the one who put it together from nothing? I think it'd be smart to talk to the one who knows, not the one who's guessing and speculating. People tell me often they don't believe in hell. Come on. Humanism teaches, and that is a religion, humanism teaches that you are the bottom line. That the human is the bottom line. In other words, if I don't believe in hell, there is no hell. Hello. If you don't believe in nuclear weapons, and one of them goes off in your neighborhood, cancel Christmas. Toes up. You're done. You believe in Russia? Of course I do. I've seen it in the news. How do you know they weren't lying? How do you know those weren't really pictures of Oklahoma? How do you know? Truth is, if you've never been there, you don't know. You're taking somebody else's word for it. You saw a picture in a magazine, saw a map. Jesus said there's a lake that burns with fire for eternity. And those who refuse the free offer of life eternal, free, will go there. And that's what Peter is saying. We need salvation. There is no other name given but Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the answer. If you've never asked Him into your heart, ask Him today. Verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they were amazed, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I mean, what a frustrating situation. They don't like what's being said, but there the guy is. He's standing there. He hasn't walked in over 40 years, and he's walking today. Has only been walking not quite 24 hours. They can't ignore what's right before them, but they don't like it. And they said this. These guys are speaking with authority and with boldness, with power. How can it be? Because they are unlearned, ignorant men. What does that mean? These guys have no formal legal training. They have no formal university training. They don't have seminary or Bible college. These are fishermen. John and Peter were raised fishing. John and his brother James worked for their dad. Their dad owned the boat. One day Jesus came by and said, follow me. They stopped mending the nets. They dropped their lives and decided to give up their careers and to follow Jesus the rest of their lives. And they left their dad and they followed Jesus, gave the rest of their lives. It was Peter and his brother Andrew who owned the boat. And they gave up that boat, gave up their careers, gave up their futures, or their supposedly secure future, and turned their lives over to Jesus and loved Him and followed Him the rest of their lives. They hadn't been to the university. They had no seminary or Bible college training. They were totally unqualified to be doing this. But here they are standing, testifying before the nation's Senate, the nation's Supreme Court, the powers, the Congress, the authorities of that nation. And they're amazed, saying, look at the authority with which they speak. Now, I'm going to ask you something, and don't lie, because this is going out live on the radio. If you walked out of this church today, someone was standing outside and you said, you know, they said, what were you doing there? We went to church. We kind of studied the Bible, praise God a little bit, and it's neat. Studied the Bible, what did you learn? Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus died, and he died for the sins of the world. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended back to heaven. And he is salvation. He's the Messiah. I believe he's the Messiah. I believe he's coming again. That person looks at you and said, you are nuts. Calls the police and has you arrested. They throw you in the drunk tank overnight here in Post Falls. Bring you out in the morning. And they say, we're taking you this morning to the Supreme Court of Idaho. We're going to take, matter of fact, before the whole legislature of the state of Idaho, and we're going to ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you something. When you get there, and there's the governor, and there's all these legislatures, and you got the news people and everything, would you be nervous? No, I'd go, all right, now sit down, Gov. I got something to say. You, quiet. Put that camera over here. Oh, yeah, you think so? Do you think you might be a little nervous? Sure you would. We all would, wouldn't we? But they noticed these were unlearned men. Where does that power come from? Where does the boldness come from? Well, didn't Jesus say, before he was crucified, didn't he say that this would happen to them? Do you remember? It's Luke chapter 21, verses 12 through 15. He's talking about the end times. So before the end, he said, before all these, in verse 12, they shall lay their hands on you. That doesn't mean pray for you, but grab you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Didn't he say? You'll be brought before, and here they are, before the rulers, the powers that be of the whole nation. And, verse 13, it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts. When he says that, he means here and now. Settle it here and now in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which you all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Meaning, I'll give you what to speak, and they won't be able to stand against it. What can the Sanhedrin say? What can the Sadducees say? He is healed. There he is. They're telling us Jesus Christ is alive. There's no argument coming back from this powerful body. They're just saying, these guys are untrained. How did they get this? How does this work? I don't understand. And it says they took note, or they noticed about Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John spent their time with Jesus. Remember, they loved him. They gave their lives in serving him. And so it's my prayer for all of you that it will be said for each one of you the same thing. When others meet you, I hope they say, how is it that she speaks so boldly? She has got no great university training. How is it that she speaks with such authority about the things of God? He doesn't have a Bible college background, and he's teaching that little Bible study. How can he do that? He really knows God's word. Their lives are so powerful. How is that possible? That's what we want people to say about you. And they will take note, we pray, that you've been with Jesus. Not 10 years ago when you first accepted the Lord. Man, you were on fire. You were thrilled. You thought, I'm a Christian. I'm going to do it. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to just give my life. This is the way. But that was 10 years ago. You grew up. You got tired. Somebody hurt your feelings. Your wife left you. Your husband left you. Your kids are gone. I mean, your home left you. It was a mobile home. I mean, it's hard Somebody said to me one time in my office, it's hard to be me. I hurt so much. You don't understand. I said, listen, if I had your life, I'd throw mine away. Yours is easy compared to what mine was. But I'm glad that I wasn't the Apostle Paul. Shipwrecked 3 different times? Come on. After the second time, I'd be saying to my family, we're flying. I don't care. I don't care what the cost. I mean, okay, every time you got on a boat, it went down, you'd start to be feeling a little pressured. Beaten many times, stoned to death, left for dead. I mean, the guy had it hard, and what did he say? On his years after he had made 2 missionary journeys, the guy was scarred. He was his body was messed up. The guy was a mess. When people looked at him, the Bible insinuates, even Paul says, I'm really terrible to look at. I'm a mess. And after 2 missionary journeys, years later, as he was getting older, what did he say? Hey, guys, I got this great idea. What, Paul? Let's go back to every church we started and see how they're doing. You're kidding, man. They tried to kill you. I know. Let's go see. Well, they might try it again. Oh, come on. You know what? It is probably hard being you. But you know something? The Lord is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested above what you are able to endure. You have His Spirit if you're truly born again. That's where the power is, not in your own determination. That's where the strength is, not in your own mental ability, but it's in the power of the living God. And people should be taking note that you and I have been with Jesus, not 10 years ago, but now we've been with Him today. Some say, oh yeah, man, last summer in summer camp, I was on a mountaintop, man. You've heard people say that. We went on a retreat and for 3 days, man, I loved the Lord. Then I came back down to work Monday. You need to stay. You need to stay there. How? Spend time daily with the Lord. Everybody's got their way that works for them, and they want you to do it. Oh, yeah, I get up at midnight, and from midnight to 6, I'm on my knees. Good, if that works for you, God bless you. Some say, I got a 45-pound Scofield Reference Bible. I got it everywhere I go. Somebody says, mine looks like a little pistol. You whip it open, and you can, it's a six-shooter thing. They got the Scripture. Mine's only the New Testament and the Psalms. And everybody's got their formula. Listen, get your own formula. Get what works in your life. Get into the Word, however you do it. Begin to pray. Stay in fellowship here, and then stay in fellowship out there. Life is going to keep hitting you. I'm warning you. Life doesn't let up. It continues to hit you. I wish that all kinds of things had not happened to me, but they have happened to me. And I can't get over them, and I can't get through them. And so you just got to say, Lord, I trust you. Let's just do it. It hasn't all been roses and rainbows. And you know what? Almost every bit of it was my fault. I wish that I could blame somebody else. You were bad. You never loved me anyway. No, I brought it all on me. And you know, God is so good. And it's all right. Because I'd be down again. And He'd pick me up and He'd dust me off. And He'd say, come on, let's walk. And I'd say, I can't. I'm embarrassed. I did it again. I can't. And He goes, no, come on, let's walk. I can't. I'm a loser of it. No, come on, you're my son. Let's walk. And He dusts you off. And you walk a little further, poof, you're down again. He goes, come on. It's just like learning to walk, these little babies. Look how many times they fall. They keep on doing it. You can pick them up and there they go again. You know they're going to fall again. Let them go. You're right there with them. God's right there with you. And He dusts you off. And you've fallen so many times, some of you are so embarrassed that you're afraid of Him. You're afraid He's so mad now that He doesn't love you anymore. And God comes to you and says, come on, let's walk. I can't. I'm the worst you have. No, come on, I love you. Let's walk. I can't. Don't you? Look what I just did. God just says, come on. Do you want to walk with me? Yes. Then let's walk. I'll be with you. We'll do this together. I have never asked you to do anything on your own. I would never leave you orphans. I will always be there to hold you and help you. That's what He said. It's a promise. So we spend time in the Word of God. We spend time with the Lord. We spend time learning and growing. And I like it. They couldn't deny the power of God because the miracle had happened. In your life, before we share communion, look, in your life, as you serve the Lord, as you spend time in fellowship here, because it's good to fellowship together, and as you spend time in fellowship out there somewhere, as you spend time in prayer and in God's Word, as you sit at the feet of the Lord and just listen to Him, as you allow the Holy Spirit to work on a daily basis in your life, there will be power in your life that has never been there before. You'll see. The power of the Lord Himself, and others, I believe, will see it in you. Maybe they won't say it to you because maybe they won't even like you. The Sanhedrin didn't like John and Peter, but they took note. They said, the only thing, I don't know how he's got that kind of strength. I don't know how she has that ability, but this I do know about him, about her. They've been with Jesus. That's our prayer, that is said about you and about me. Let's bow our heads together. They're going to bring this communion forward. Tiny piece of bread representing the broken body of Jesus Christ. He died for you and me. This cup representing the blood that was shed. Shed blood washes all my sins, all your sins away if you just say yes to the Lord. It is a free gift. But maybe we need to take some time to just fall before Him at His feet, just to draw near to God. So that when you go out today, others will take note that you've been with Jesus. Maybe you just, your heart is so heavy and so broken that you don't have anything to say to the Lord. Just bow before Him. The Spirit of God knows. Maybe you've got decisions you need to make and you honestly don't know which way is His will. Cry out to Him and ask Him to show you which way to go, and He will. When you get that tiny piece of bread and you get that cup, we leave this now between you and the Lord. Take that when you're ready. Take that when your heart is ready. Just go before Him and worship and listen to the Lord. Father, we ask You.